Morning, everyone. This is the first service of the new year in the church, and you'll see out front I've laid some of the January issues of the Banner of Love we just come out with, and in it I asked Brother Mark Richards if he would to write a prayer for the new year, and he did that, and you can pick one up if you desire, but I would like to read the prayer that he wrote. I thought it was very appropriate for us and to our benefit. Our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, how great Thou art and how greatly to be praised. As we enter the new year, we pray for perspective, to see and acknowledge our many blessings, for moments of purpose to express our thankfulness, and for a door of petition to set before Thee our needs so vast and varied, for provision, protection, patience, preservation, pardon, and peace. Lord, we pray you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Preserve our spirit, soul, and body. Help us to gird up the loins of our mind and let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. While we travel here, be a light unto our path and guide our feet into the way of peace. Be with us through loss and through gain, when our faces are bowed in sorrow, and when our eyes and voices are lifted up in praise. Save us from discouragement as well as from pride. Give us patience to stand still and see Thy salvation. Help us to speak more kindly, forgive sooner, and pray more often. Help us to not withhold good from them to whom it is due when it is within the power of our hand to do it. May we stagger not at Thy promises, but rather be strong in faith, giving Thee all the glory, honor, and praise. Let us hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And at our departing, deliver us to be with You in paradise. In the precious name of Thy darling Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I thought that was a good prayer to start off the new year with, and you'll see it in the Banner of Love laying out there, and encourage you to take one if you don't have it. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. I have a subject on my mind, and I stand in need of your prayers. If ask the Lord to bless us, and through me or in spite of me, He'll give you, each of you, a blessing He knows you need. Each of you, I know most of you here, but I know don't know what's on your hearts, and the Lord does, and I pray that He will bless you to provide you comfort and peace with whatever problems you may have. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of apostles and priests. Apostles and priests. We think those are a little bit differently, but there's one thing they have in common that I hope to get to here that we'll be able to see. Apostles and priests. Y'all are generally familiar with both of those. You know, the apostles, everybody knows who about the 12 apostles that Christ named. Everybody knows about the priests. The priests started back in the Old Testament and continued up into the New Testament, the priests that led the worship service for the people. Over in Matthew chapter 10, Christ, and I'm going to start with the apostles first. Let's talk just briefly a little background about apostles. Matthew 10, we know that's where Christ named His 12 apostles, and I'm not going to go through them. But then, you know, he named the 12 apostles, and then he said, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Jesus sent forth. Apostles means someone who is sent. An apostle is someone who is sent out to go do something. He sent in this case, Jesus named apostles, His 12, and He sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. They were not to go preach to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. Well, I don't know all of you again, but I'm going to guess here that everybody in this room is a Gentile. You're not of Jewish ethnic group, and you're not of Samaritans. Some of you may have Samaritan blood or even some Jewish blood, but he limited where they could go and go speak. That limitation was later taken off, as we know. But He told them at the start, these were the Jewish people, these apostles were all Jews, And of course, they didn't get along with the Samaritans too well, and they were told not to intermarry with the Gentiles. So Jesus instructed them, don't go preach to them, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was wanting them to preach, there's fixed to be a big change. The kingdom of heaven is going to replace the old original covenant that was there. He said, and told them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give. He gave them special powers. He gave the apostles special powers to heal all manner of sickness. And they went forth and they did it. Because he gave them powers, he did it. They went out and did all that. And that's what they were known for. And everybody has heard of the apostles, and they did wondrous works and went about their duty. We know that the time of the apostles ended. It ended when Christ died, and his apostles continued. And that's when he changed. You can go read the end of Book of Mark. He gave them what's called the commission. Commission again. He then said, go into the world and preach to every creature. Now, when he talked about every creature, he's not talking about grasshoppers and horses and rodents and dogs and cats. Creature, if you're born of the Lord, you're a new creation. And that's what he's talking about when he says creature. Apostle Paul tells us that over in Corinthians. A new creature is someone who is born again. And we know if you read John chapter 3, that occurs directly as a result of an act of God, act of the Holy Spirit, that we don't really have in that. You'll have people tell you, you better go get born again. You need to go read John chapter 3, where in the first few verses, it'll tell you, you don't have anything to do with that. That's up to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit picks the time, the manner, and the place you're born again. Some it may happen very young, some it may happen very old, but the Lord is in charge of that. But he told them to go out and do all manner of good deeds and healing. He had great healing power. That power doesn't exist anymore in any men. Now, I'm a firm believer in divine healing, but it doesn't come at the hands of any man. It comes only directly from the true healer, and that's our Lord and Savior, and the Lord is where that comes from directly. You know, we have all sorts of people out here today who claim to be apostles. A lot of religions of the world will name some of their leadership as apostles. I don't think that's what we're taught about in the Word of God, that we should call ourselves apostles when we don't fit anything that the apostles did or have the powers they do. But we'll have people that will do that, people that will claim they're apostles, people that will claim they have special healing powers as divine healers. That power doesn't exist again with any man, and I hope to prove that to you here in just a moment. But the apostles had a special place. They served through the time that Christ died and buried and was resurrected. And in fact, if you go read the first chapter of Acts, it says that was one of the qualifications to be an apostle. You had to be there and had to see Christ and him resurrected is one of the qualifications to be an apostle, spelled out there in the first book of Acts. If you go over in the book of Revelations, real quickly, you don't have to go, I'll go there for you. Chapter 21 speaks of a new Jerusalem. That's symbolic of heaven. He goes through and describes what will be there. I want to get down to the 13th verse. It on the east gates and on the north gates and on the south gates. And what will be on them? Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The 12 apostles of the Lamb are those that are spelled out at Matthew 10. Their names will be written into the foundation, the walls of heaven. Now, one of those unanswered questions that preachers can stay up all night long discussing is, what names are on that wall as the apostles' names? We know 11 of them are there, but is Judas's name there? He was one of the 12 apostles. I tend to think, no, he's not. It's the apostle Paul was substituted in as the 12th one, but I don't know the answer for that, and I don't know that it's in the Bible, and unless you have some special revelation, I don't think anybody knows. But anyway, they had special powers. Those powers, in my opinion, completely, I think the Bible teaches it, completely ended in 70 A.D., with the destruction of Jerusalem and Israel. That was some of them may have continued. John may have gone a little longer than that with his writing-inspired word. But it ended with the reign of those first apostles. And no one has the right. Now, we have certain duties that we're taught as ministers to do some of the things, go preach to every creature. Again, we're not supposed to go preach to somebody who's a lost child of God, a dead alien sinner, be a way to word it. We're to go to preach to the people that are creatures. That means they're already new creations. They're already saved. We're to preach to those that are already saved. We can't give them eternal salvation, but we go preach to them and minister to them. That's who the apostles were, and who they would. We saw who they were to go preach to initially was the Jews, and then at the end, when Jesus left, he expanded that to all creatures, regardless of where they out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, everybody who is already a child of God and recognized as such. That's who they were to go to preach to. Next is let's quickly define priest. Who were the priests? Well, to preach, you need to go back into the book of Exodus, where it started. It actually started before that. It started back in Genesis 18, 19, I believe. The first priest that we know of was a man named Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the one that gave blessings to Abraham 500 years before we came up with what was known as the priesthood of the nation of Israel. 500 years before that, there was a priest named Melchizedek. And you can read about that back in Genesis when Abraham came across him. Abraham fell down and worshipped him, and he gave blessings to Abraham, and Abraham paid tithes to him like you would a priest. That's where the priesthood began, was with Melchizedek. Melchizedek, it says, was appointed directly by God to come and serve as a priest. Get over into Exodus then, when the nation of Israel was formed and God was given instruction to Moses. He named a priesthood for the nation of Israel, a long-standing priesthood. He said, take unto thee thou Aaron thy brother and his sons with him. Now, these were all out of the tribe of Levi. You know, there was the 12 tribes of Israel, and then there was the tribe of Levi. All the priesthood of Israel came out of the tribe of Levi, and all were descendants of Aaron, which was Moses' brother. Lord tells him up on Mount Sinai, Take unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Verse 2, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Over in chapter 29, it tells us that the Lord tells Moses, and this is the thing thou shalt do unto them, Aaron and his sons, to hallow them to minister unto me in the priest's office. Gets down to verse 7. He said, one way you recognize priest, thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. This is how you became priest, is by the anointing. Number one, you had to be a descendant of Aaron of the tribe of Levi, and you were anointed with this oil. You need to go read Psalm 133 about how David tells us how the priest was anointed. He put on his priestly garments. And then you take this special oil. They had olive oil. It was a mixture of olive oil and myrrh and frankincense. There's in here, it'll give you that recipe. But it's oil, and it said you would pour it over the top of the priest's head. He'd have his garments. Pour it over his head. It would run down over his head slowly. Soak in, saturate his beard as it came down. Drip down onto his garments. It had that myrrh and frankincense in it. Created a specific smell and odor. I mean, when you were anointed a priest, you knew you were a priest. It had that specific smell, and you weren't allowed to use that type of anointing oil for anything else. But you had to be, that's how you became a priest, number one, because God appointed the first one, Aaron, and he said, and then every one of Aaron's sons, a descendant, you had to have that by blood. You had to be a descendant of Aaron from the tribe of Levi in order to be a priest. That priesthood lasted all the way through until the nation of Israel was destroyed, and it went away, and it was replaced, and I hope we'll talk about that in a minute too. But it's gone. We don't have the apostles and the priests anymore like we did when we started up that you're familiar with, that we talk about so many times when we're preaching about the apostles and the priests and the high priests. Those went away. I hope we'll see that again here in a minute. But now turn with me to my main scripture I want to follow is in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, written by the Apostle Paul, he begins this way. Wherefore, holy brethren. Now, I got to stop there for a minute. Three words. Wherefore, holy brethren. One of the things about the Bible is you need to look and see who things are written to. You know, the Bible, everything in the Bible is written for us. Not all of it is written to us. Sometimes it's written to other people. Some things are written to the nation of Israel. You need to understand that. Some things are written then to the Gentiles, and some things are written to the church. The church is all of God's elect. So all three of those are different, and the whole Bible is good for you, but you need to look sometimes and see who it's written to. You know, the Bible is good for you to read Job, but Job is full of those unsympathetic people he had helping him, and some of the instructions that God gave him were terrible and wrong, so you need to know that and understand that's not to you. You're not to follow what they told him, but you need to understand that it's good for you to know that's what was taking place with Job. So not everything in the Bible is written for you, not all of it's to you. This one, by Apostle Paul, is to you. It's written to you, everyone in this room, I believe. Wherefore, holy brethren, this book was not written for the dead alien sinner who some people say we got to go out and save, who don't know Jesus, don't know the Lord, we got to go out and save them. Paul was not writing to them. He was writing to holy brethren. You've already been set aside, who he's talking to. You've been set aside. You've been sanctified. You're a child of God. That's who he's writing to. Look how he words it. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. He's writing to people who are already children of God, who are already saved. So if you're not already saved and born again, then he wasn't writing to you. Then you're reading somebody else's mail here. This is who he's writing. He's writing to you. Holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling. You're the holy calling. You know the holy calling is when you're born again, he's called you, he's made you a born-again child of God. Paul says, that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And he asks this, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. We do have apostle. We do have high priest. We got one. We got one apostle and one high priest. The apostle and the high priest. All the rest are fake. One apostle and one high priest. Now, what's the difference between an apostle and a priest? High priest. Apostle is someone that God sends to be in the presence of men to do a work and help them out. Apostle is someone God sends to men to help out men, help men and women. I speak that generically. That's someone that God sends to help the people. What's a priest? A priest is someone who's sent to God for the people. That's the difference. Think back in the old days. Apostles came down, were sent down to help people. Heal them all of their diseases. Help them. Teach them about the Lord. Teach them what he's already done for them. They were sent to teach and preach to help out men understand the Lord. What were the priests to do? The priests were to go into the presence of God. They went inside the tabernacle in the temple, into the most holy place where God was, and they appeared to him and they made sacrifices for the people. A priest is someone who goes directly to God and appeals to God in behalf of the people. So one is from God to the people, that's an apostle, and a priest is from the people going to God in behalf of the people. That's the difference between those two. And that's the two roles they played forever. Priesthood, back in the old days, we had to go in there and make sacrifices in behalf of the people. They would make sacrifices for forgiveness of their own sins and forgiveness of the sins of the people, and they would appeal to God to take care of the people. They would go in there and pray to God to help take care of the people and make sacrifices so God would forgive the people. Now, the apostles, they were to go, they were sent from God, called and appointed by Jesus Christ himself to go out and take care of people and preach to them and heal them of all these manner of diseases and illness ahead. One's going one way and one's going the other way. One's going up, the other's coming down, in a manner of speaking. But there's a difference between those two. Jesus, it says, he is the apostle and the high priest. He's the apostle. He came down here among us to help us. He died for us, died for you, so that then we have the ability to go to heaven. Now, today, when you go in prayer, when you go in prayer, you're appealing. We pray in the name of what? Like you heard, Brother, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I'm a praying to you're a the priest. He's the priest now, and he goes directly to the Lord, and is our mediator for the Lord in our behalf. He is the apostle and the high priest. So we start with that premise. The apostle and the high priest. I'm in Hebrews 3, but I'm going to flip over to 4. It says, it tells us here about, now I don't want to go in great detail about it, in chapters 4 of Hebrews, the next chapter, verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest, he's talking about Christ, that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What that's saying is we do have a high priest now, Jesus, who is touched with our infirmities. Jesus is our high priest who we go for help. And then he in turn then delivers those messages. He's our mediator, intercessor for us to the God in heaven. Excuse me. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. You know, back in the priests were just men. And we know, if you read in the Old Testament, there were some good priests and there were some bad priests. We don't have that anymore. We got a good priest. We got the best priest, the high priest. And he says, for that, we don't have to worry about, I got to go to the priest and say, forgive my sins, like they did in the Old Testament. Help me get rid of my sins. And I don't know whether you're good or bad. We know, if you go read the history of the priesthood in the Old Testament, and that's good to go do. It's boring as it can be. But if you go read that, you'll see that a lot of them were good, a lot of them were bad, and sometimes people were afraid of the priest. I spoke not too long ago about the man who was blind, and everybody was afraid of the priest then because they were afraid if they confessed Jesus, they'd be kicked out of the temple, and they were afraid of the priest. You don't have to be afraid of your priest. We got one apostle now and one priest, and that's Jesus Christ filling both roles. He goes both directions. He comes down here and helps us, and then he delivers our messages back up to God in our behalf. Excuse me. Get a drink real quick. And over here in Hebrews chapter 5, Apostle Paul tells us who this high priest is. He is a high priest. He's a high priest. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He skips all the priests of the Old Testament, all the hundreds of priests they had in the Old Testament, and goes back to the original one appointed by God himself. He's the same as Melchizedek, appointed directly by God, and he's a high priest forever. He tells us here in verse 4, in verse 4 of chapter 5, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Aaron was called of God. No priest today can take this honor upon himself. So also was Christ glorified, not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Christ is the high priest. He's taken on a higher role than all the priests of the Old Testament. He's a higher level of priest than ever any other priest. He's on the same order of Melchizedek, except he serves in the role of apostle and high priest. Let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 3, where it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And number one, you are holy brethren. That means you are already sanctified. You're saved. That's who he's talking to. You are partakers of the heavenly calling. You are born again because you're partakers of that calling. Now, I want you to consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, of our profession, for us now. Christ is the apostle, and the high priest. Now, if he's the apostle, that's somebody who was sent to do a work. He was sent to do some work. Did he do the work that he was sent to do? Go back with me to John chapter 4, those of you who have your Bibles. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus speaking to, at that time, his apostles. He said, my work, I've been sent to do a work. My work is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You think he got it finished? Yeah, he finished it. He came to do the work that his Father sent him to do, and he finished it. You're in John. Turn over here to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 37. Now, for everybody here that, you know, you wonder what to say when you sometimes talk, you wonder what part of the Bible should I know or not do. You know, it's one of those, I had a teacher one time who was teaching me how to take the law exam, and he says, you know, here's what you want to do if you want to get an A. Do this, do this, this. If you want to get a B, do this, this. He said, if you want to fail but with dignity, here's what you need to do, and he'd give you two steps. Well, if you want to, you know, this is what I'm getting to, make it dirt simple. If you don't do anything else, there's two scriptures in the Bible I urge you to read and memorize and know. These are the best answers that you can ever get. One is 1 John 4 and 19. And people tells you, you need to learn to love the Lord. Now, we're at 1 John 4 and 19, this is one to memorize. We love him because he loved us first. You know, since you got to find the Lord and get to know him and learn to love him, and you better love him. Only way we can love him is because he loved us first. He loved us. He knows who we are, and he loved us first. If he loves you, you're a child of God. If you love the Lord, you're a child of God, because you can't love him but until he's loved you first. Know that one. That's one to know. That's a good answer anytime. We love him because he loved us first. The other one is this one, John 6, 37, 38, 39, and 44. These are good verses to write down, put them on an index card, and memorize them. John, you know, and again, we over there said, what work did I do? I sit down here to, Jesus said, I was sent here to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. 37, all the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is what I was sent to do. I was sent to come down here, and all the Father gives to me, and him that shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Every one the Father gave me, every one of you that are partakers of the holy calling, everyone that he gives me, they will come to me, and they shall come to me, and every one of them that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm going to take up every one that comes to me that the Father sent to me. Every one. I will lose nothing, not any. You're going to fall from grace? No, you can't fall from grace. This man's got his arms wrapped around you, and you'll not fall. In verse 44, no man can come to me. No man can come to me. That's the doctrine of depravity. We're all sinners. You know, we all start to think of ourselves sometimes as being pretty good. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not that bad. You know, it's what we think. Yeah, you are. You're totally depraved. And that's one of the things you need to understand. We are depraved. We cannot come to Christ. We cannot come to him. We don't love him. We don't care to love him until he loves us first and changes us on the inside. And that's what he does. He changes us on the inside. And it says here, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. I'm going to save him at the last day. Everyone the Father has given him. Now, these are important verses to know, because these are the best answers you can give. People that are trying to deceive you, they don't have answers to these verses. These are, you almost have to be trying not to understand to not see how clear these are. Number one, we love him because he loved us first. He's not sitting over there in the chair in the corner and waiting for you to come to him. He brings you to him. He draws you to him. You know, I heard this explained one time. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. Now, this is a dead weight draw that he's talking about here. You know, we all, most of you have this piece of furniture at home that's sitting in your bedroom that you keep your clothes in. You know, and it's got compartments in it. You go over there and you call that a chest of, I have a hard time saying it, drawers. Drawers, you say it all different. Us Texans pronounce it different, dressed of drawers. It's a chest of drawers. You draw them out. That's where it gets at. That's where it comes from. And that door, that chest, those drawers don't come open by themselves. You got to go over and do a dead weight draw to draw them out. So what it's talking about here. You don't go to Christ. You don't go to the Lord. He grabs you and draws you to Him. That's what we call irresistible grace. He's given you a fantastic gift of His grace and mercy, and He comes and draws you to Him because He knows you won't accept it. We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're too dumb to accept what's good for us in this case. He will draw us to Him. Great verse D. Now, did He get it finished? Did He finish His work? Yeah, we know He did. We know He finished it because He got on the cross and He said, when He died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." He came as the apostle from God to us to do the work, and He finished that work. Get over here to John, still saying in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is right before Christ went to the cross. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was praying. This is our high priest praying for us and praying to the Heavenly Father. He's acting in his role as priest here. He said, these words spake Jesus and lifted His eyes up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that the Son may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." Now, this is the power, He said, You've given me to give eternal life to all the names You've given me. Where do those names come from? And from God. God wrote them in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began, before you were even born. Christ has died for your sins already. He's already died for everybody the Father gave Him. Not a name is left out. You know, we're told that number's in so high we can't count them, more than the sands by the seashore, stars in the sky. But He gives eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. He was sent as an apostle to come down and do that work. Now He's praying. That's His priestly role. He's praying. He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee." If you know Him, that means you've got eternal life. If you know who Christ is, you've got it. Because He says you don't know Him, then He gives it to you that you finally might know Him. God gives you eternal life. Put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then Jesus came and died on the cross. And this is eternal life, that you then might know Him. And I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Now, what do you have to do to get your eternal salvation? It's already there. You've already gotten it. It's finished work. You've gotten it. Now, what's the Bible about? You know, we talk about salvation, the word salvation being in this Bible. Majority of the time, it's talking about what we call timely salvation. I made this joke before. The first time I sent my kids out with their driver's license in the car, I was scared to death. And I prayed, "Lord, save them and save all the people around them." I'm not talking about eternal salvation. I prayed for their timely salvation, their salvation today from the world. Send my daughter out, and I pray she won't be harmed by the evil men of the world that's going on. Send my son out, you know, and ask him not to be like as dumb as I was when a kid and drive on the railroad tracks. Don't want my kids to know that even yet today. But, you know, we do crazy stuff in this world. This world is hard on us. That's what timely salvation is about. And that's what three-fourths of the Bible is about. Timely salvation. Lord, help us today. Help us get by this world. This is a perfect guidebook for life. If you're here today, that tells me you're a child of God. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have some interest in coming to church for some reason. You know, and I said, you know, as a kid, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church on Sundays. I was drugged to church on Saturdays. I was drugged to church on Wednesday nights. Now I have a desire to come on my own, and I want to be here every time because I want to say thank you and praise the person who's given me eternal life. Brother Kenny talked, this life is so short. I used to think how long it was before I'd get old, and now I'm going, my gosh. I used to come and see all the old-timers, and now I'm one to look in the mirror, and I'm going, now I'm one of them. You know, we come here because He has, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have some desire in your heart to know the Lord. If you have that desire, the Lord already knows you. It shows you're trying to love Him because He already loves you. And Christ died for your behalf, and He prays for you in the Garden of Gethsemane here about what's going on. Now, Christ is now the apostle and the high priest. He comes down here to do a work. He finished that work as the apostle. Came down among men and did the work and finished it. And He is still the apostle and He is the high priest. He now, when we pray in the name of Christ. Because we expect Christ to deliver that. He's the one that delivered His blood on the mercy seat in heaven itself before God for your behalf. He did what the priestly duties used to do back in the old days, put the blood on the mercy seat of the sacrifice. He Himself is the sacrifice. He delivered His own blood to the mercy seat directly in heaven before God for your behalf and gave you eternal life. Now, on a daily basis, he helps you out on a daily basis. He's still serving as your high priest. You know, we have sometimes people will go and talk about, I need to go see the preacher, I need to go see the priest, I need to go see the apostle, whoever you may go, because I need help in this world. Am I a priest? Am I a high priest? I'm clearly not a high priest. Am I a priest? Yes, I am. And you are too. You're a priest too. You have the ability to go directly to Christ, who is the high priest. You have the ability to go directly to Him. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. You have the ability to go. You know, when Christ died, the curtain was torn down on the tabernacle, where only the priest could go behind it before. Now you have the ability to go directly to God Himself. I didn't finish in Hebrews while ago in chapter 8. The Lord says, I'm changing the old covenant where I used to have, where the priest used to try to tell everybody what was going on. Christ is now your high priest. And we have not, the old covenant about the priesthood does not have to inform everybody who God is. God says, I'll do that myself. I will put my laws into their heart. I will write them into their minds, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And no longer shall any man say, try to tell another to know the Lord. They all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now, what the Apostle Paul tells us, you know, they all used to have to go to the temple. Where's the temple today? Apostle Paul over Corinthians tells us, know ye not that your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit? Temple is right here. When you go to the Lord in prayer, when you go to the Lord in prayer and mediation, you are a priest for yourself or whoever you're praying for. And you should go and you should lay your petitions, as we talked about Brother Mark's prayer. We give our petitions to you directly. We have the ability to go directly to the Lord, to Jesus Christ, and that's who we're supposed to pray to. When you do that, you are a priest. You're part of the royal priesthood that exists now. All of you are priests. You are too. You know, some people think, well, I want to go get the preacher to pray for him because he has special influence. I don't have any more influence than you do. I don't have any influence than these five-year-old children do. They're all children of God. When they pray, God hears their prayers. Maybe they don't word it the same way as Brother Kenny does, with him, or Brother Dwayne do, with their good prayers, well-worded prayers. But they don't have any more influence with God than you do. You're a part of this royal priesthood that the Lord has given you the right to come directly to His throne. When you pray, you don't have to go anywhere in particular. You don't have to come to church. You pray laying in your bed. You pray sitting on top of your tractor while you're driving down the highway, while you're laying on the hospital bed. You have a right to go directly, as a priest used to do, directly in to see God. You have that ability to go directly and lay your petition at His feet and say, Lord, help me. You are a part of the priesthood, and that's what Peter tells us. You are a royal, a holy priesthood. Go over here to verse 8 of 1 Peter, chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. It's part of being in the Old Testament. They didn't have that. You do have the ability to do what the people in the Old Testament didn't do. Because the Lord, he switched from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, says, I'm going to put myself in your heart and in your minds. I'm going to put my laws there. Nobody's to teach you to know the Lord, because I'll teach you to know the Lord, teach you who I am. And you have the ability to go directly to him in prayer. Over here in Revelations, first chapter of Revelations, verse 1, it says, this is Revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's talking about Christ, and it says, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He has made us a royal priesthood. He has made us priests and kings. Now, we're not the high priest. That's Christ. But you are a priest today. We got one apostle and one high priest. That's Christ, both together. Hebrews makes that clear. Nobody else should take those names on themselves. That's what Apostle Paul tells us there in Hebrews. But you are part of the priesthood. You have the Lord inside you. You have the temple built in. God couldn't have made worshiping him any easier. He couldn't have made religion any easier than he has. He's put himself inside you. He's made it easy for you to pray. You don't have to have any special words. It says the Holy Spirit even understands groanings. The Lord is good to us. He makes it easy for us to go with him with our needs. He's already taken care of your eternal salvation. If you're here, you're a child of God. Your place in heaven is secure. It's taken care of. You don't have to worry about somebody trying to sell you a bill of goods and say you've got to do this, or you're going to lose your salvation, you're going to go to hell, you've got to do this or that. Again, all you got to do is cite those verses I tell you, if nothing else. That's how you get to heaven, is he draws you to him. He calls you. He loves you first. God's taking care of the eternal salvation part. Now it's time for us to serve and enroll as priest, part of the priesthood, not as the high priest. We go to the high priest, Christ. We pray in his name, and he delivers our message right to the mercy seat and the throne of God himself. We're to go to him and make our prayer. When we pray, when we meditate, we go make our sacrifices to him. We should sacrifice each one on our own, whatever sacrifices we have. I'm not talking about just time. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about time and resources and things we should do. You go do those things that he's told us to do. Visit the sick. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. You ought to do this to support the church. We ought to support the people in the church. There's all sorts of good works that we do to say thank you and to go petition for help. You know, I ask you to pray for me. We should all pray for each other. That's part of our duties as priests, is to pray for the people that need our help. We have one high priest and one apostle. Nobody else has those roles. But you do have a role as a priest yourself, as part of the royal priesthood of being a child of God. Again, the Lord has made serving him so easy for us and so simple. He's put himself inside you. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to the most holy place. You don't have to go to the temple. You don't have to go anywhere. Wherever you are, at any time of day, 24 hours a day, he's ready to hear your needs. No matter how old you are, no matter what position you're in, no matter if you're a member of the church or not a member of the church, a small child has the same influence with the Lord as I do. As Brother Kenny does, we sometimes know how to word prayers a little bit better for public prayers, and those are important. But my prayer is not any more influential than yours are. You are a priest yourself. I appreciate your kind attention. My prayer is the Lord will richly bless each of you.